I was a communist for the FBI. Starring Dana Andrews in an exciting tale of danger and espionage, I Was a Communist for the FBI. From the actual records and authentic experiences of Matt Savetic come many of the incidents in this unusual story. Here is our star, Dana Andrews, as Matt Savetic, who for 9 fantastic years lived as a communist for the FBI.
I'm glad it's over. The weird Alice in Wonderland fantasy of being a communist, of pretending to the Reds that I was helping to plunder my own country. The reports, the strange rendezvous, the mail drops, code words, the intrigue, and the both ends against the middle. 9 years nightmare. I'm glad it's over, but I'm glad it happened.
In a moment, listen to Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, Undercover Man. As Matt Savetic, Undercover Man. This story from the confidential file is marked Little Boy Blue Turned Red.
No, I can't take this anymore. I'll crack. I'll break wide open. I've got to call my FBI contact. That's his code name now. Come on, Savetic. Look alive or you'll get dead. Long Street, that's it. Find out, who was Paul Ippolito? And why was he murdered? Paul Ippolito. The name rings bells. Somehow, somewhere, I ought to know this man. I got to know why he was killed. Long Street, dial Long Street. Long Street, please.
Who wants it?
Savetic.
Who?
What? Oh, McClellan. McClellan.
Go ahead, McClellan.
I've got to see you. Urgent.
Is it terribly urgent, or is it those nerves again?
Well, it's nerves, I guess.
Rendezvous Green at 3. I'll see you. And, remember, you've had the shakes before.
Not like this.
So long.
Not like this.
Look, Matt, if your complexion has to match the rendezvous, let's pick up a rendezvous suntan. You look awful.
You've got to answer me on this Ippolito case.
What's there to talk about?
An honest tradesman without enemies is waylaid in an alley and killed without being robbed. Ippolito, a foreign name like mine.
Well?
The speculation is that he was an FBI undercover man like me.
Just speculation. Have you spoken to Revson today?
Now you've got it. No, I haven't spoken to Revson. I telephoned in at 8:30 a.m. as usual. No answer. I've waited for his call at the various checkpoints we have set up. No call. Isn't that significant to you? It's the silent treatment. It means I'm next.
Oh, Matt.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you this, too. They won't stop with one killing.
Assuming Ippolito was the one.
They'll send the same hatchet men after others while they're on the subject. On the theory that they can't hang higher for 3 murders than for 1. I'm telling you.
This has all happened before, Matt. Nerves.
Okay. Nerves. Can you let me have $20?
Glad to. You think you'll need it? You're not really afraid of being dead before nightfall.
The reason I want the money, I want them to find cash on me, too. So you'll know robbery wasn't the motive. FBI contact leaves first. I wait 10 minutes, absently watching a thin guy play the pinball machine. Then I walk out. Halfway down the block, I step into a doorway for a routine check to see if I'm being followed. Citizens, I am being followed. The lean man of the pinball machine is 150 feet behind me. Scratch Rendezvous Green is discovered. And maybe Scratch Matt Svedek. He's discovered, too, though.
Yes?
Longstreet?
Who is this?
McClellan.
Go ahead.
Look, I'm being tailed. It happened to Ippolito, and it's happening to me. I know.
No, you don't know. I was shadowed, too, but I think I looked innocent to him. Anyway, I shook him.
I can't shake this guy. He's out to get me. What does he get to lose? He's liquidated one guy already. Hello?
Where are you?
Pay station, Pine and Liberty.
What does your man look like?
He's lean and mean in a blue gabardine suit.
Keep talking till our men can get started down there.
Then there's another guy out there.
Yeah, what like?
This one is short and fat, but solid. Looks like a rough man at close quarters. Brown suit.
Got it.
By the way, Scratch Rendezvous Green.
Naturally. Keep on talking.
I'm a blank. My mouth like steel wool.
Well, say anything. You've got to hold those shadows there a while.
A little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands.
What?
Songs my mother taught me. A little toy soldier is red with rust, and his musket mold in his hand. Finally, we ring off. I've never felt so alone. I'd like to call my mother. Talk to my brother, Tip. But they'd know something's wrong. But anyhow, they don't have much use for the son who disgraced the family by turning the red. I leave the phone booth and go outside. Lean and mean in stylish stout, tagged right after me. I try, all right. I try every trick in the book, but they're too good. I'm not good enough. I can't shake them. I can't. Hours. All day of a chase. Gets darker. They close in to 100 feet. Twilight. Almost nightfall. 50 feet. Keep your nerves, Medic. Don't lose your head. Stay alive if you can. But if you can't, then die with dignity. Dead like this, you crawl to him. Don't do it, boy. Don't do it. Where to? Where to now? There. A penny arcade. Crowded with people and gaudy machines. Hunger skill of chess, checkers. Beat the expert. Pinball machines. Souvenirs. But I can only get lost in there. I start running. I plunge into the crowd. Work my way to the man in charge of the shooting gallery. Mac. Oh, tell me something, Mac.
Sure, my name is Bates.
How do I get out of here?
Same way you got in.
Is there a back exit?
Only for the use of hoods on the line.
Well, tell me.
Fugitives from wives, not accommodated.
Could I just have an envelope and pencil and paper, please?
Oh, just so Junior can write home to Mama, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean it?
Please.
Well, there's no such thing around this ignorant crowd. Why don't you send her a record of your voice instead, 2 bits?
Where? How?
Right over there, that little booth. You drop in a quarter, pull the lever, talk 1 full minute, recite, sing, blow your nose, record slides out, you address it, drop it in a slot, the concessionaire mails it for you. It's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal. I manage to ease over to the little recording booth. I pop in and pull the curtain. I drop a quarter in the slot. The light goes on. I talk close to the microphone. Dear Mom, I can't say much, but what I'm saying is important. I want you to know I'm still the same you hoped I'd be. I think I've been a pretty good American, even when you thought I was a communist. I'm not, Mom. I never was. I've been working for the FBI all this time. They can tell you. And they'll tell you how many times I wanted to quit. Because I loved you all so much. And I didn't want you all to think and disgrace the family. You can tell everybody that your boy made good in America. It's okay if you cry a little bit for me, but then forget it. And always try to think of me as your little boy Blue before he turned red. And so long, Mom. Give everybody my love. This is your son, Mary. Bye now. The record drops down. I address the label to my mother and drop it in a slotted box. Then walk out under the suspicious eyes of lean, mean, and stylish Stout. I walk outside. It's dark. Dignity, I tell myself. Don't crawl to them and don't run. Walk. Closing in now. Closer. Beside me now. One at each elbow. Walking. Where? We don't go far. We go to the piano studio where the cell meets when we don't want to risk an FBI tap. Behind the desk, looking self-satisfied, is Comrade Revson.
City.
Revson. Why have these two jokers been following me?
Respect, Comrade Svetik, respect.
Why have they been shadowing me? And where do we go from here?
Did you make any mistakes today, Comrade Svetik?
All I did was walk fast.
We thought the time was opportune for a general check on some comrades.
How opportune? A check on what, Thomas?
Yesterday, a man named Ippolito met violent death.
Huh?
Perhaps some guilty traitors in our ranks think Ippolito was purged for being an FBI stool pigeon. They wonder who is next, knowing that purges are undertaken on a fairly wholesale basis.
Well, was Ippolito killed for stool pigeoning for the FBI?
Who knows? And what matter? Steady. You weren't panicked into making any mistakes today, were you?
If I did, Comrades Mutt and Jeff here will tell you all about it.
Steady. I congratulate you on passing your test. Well done, all of you. That is all. Go.
And I walk down the dark stairs to the street. And two men pass me and disappear into the thin, cold drizzle. I suspect they're the watchful FBI shadows that Longstreet sent. I can't know. I'm not supposed to know. Anyhow, the danger is over. Over. But stop. The cold rain settles in my marrow, jellying my blood. That record telling my mother I'm FBI. I dictated it when I thought I was a dead man anyhow. If Mom plays that record, sooner or later, I will be a dead man. Did I make any mistakes, Grayson asked me? And what a mistake.
To Dana Andrews, starring as Matt Svetik in I Was a Communist for the FBI, and the second act of our story.
Again and again, the FBI has warned me not to tell anybody I'm an undercover man. But that record will tell my mother. And sooner or later, the comrades will find out about it. One way or another, it'll percolate down to them, and I'll be dead. I've got to keep her from playing that record. I telephone Mom and get my younger brother, Tip, instead. Tip, who despises me for having gone communist.
Hello?
Well, Tip, this is Matt. I sent Mom, you know, one of those two-bit records you make in penny arcades and amusement parks.
Many thanks.
Look, Tip, when the record comes, tell Mom not to play it.
Why? Why did you send it if you don't want her to play it?
I thought it would make her happy, that's why.
What made you change your mind about making her happy?
I can't explain that, Tip.
Mom could stand a little happiness. I'll play it, and if I think she should hear it, she'll hear it.
You can't do that.
Can't wait for your 20... Five, Matt.
Tip. Tip.
I'm in real trouble again. Now I've got to get that record before it gets into the mail. I've got to get back to that Penny Arcade and get them to open up the box for me. They'll do it. You've got to. It's life and death to me. Even if I can't explain to them why it's life and death. That old talk. It's late, and the shooting gallery is closing up when I approach Bert, the sharp character, again. And get nowhere.
Look, Chum, I can't do anything for you.
Why can't you? It's my record, and you've got it. I want it back.
We don't have nothing to do with that machine.
With your machine?
We just leased the space it's on to the operator, that's all.
Oh, what about him, then? When does he unlock the box and get out the record?
Wednesday morning, 11 a.m.
You sure about that now?
No, I'm just practicing up on my curves. Sure, I'm sure.
But if I wait until Wednesday, I'll go out of my mind. I wander around the arcade and buy a souvenir letter opener, steel and plastic. Then I slip into the recording booth. For 10 minutes, I try and lift and gouge at the box until the letter opener is twisted and bent and the box mutilated, but unopened. It's no use. I've just got to wait. All the next day, I'm useless to anybody, including myself. I don't eat. I don't sleep. I just look at clocks. Centuries later, it's finally Wednesday morning, 11 a.m., and I'm at the Penny Arcade waiting for the man to collect those records. 11:10. 11:25. I can't stand it anymore. I go to Bert at the shooting gallery learning some more funny things to say out of a comic book.
Well, Bert, I've been waiting around for the man to take those records out, remember?
Oh, he won't be here today.
But you said he would be here.
He was here yesterday.
What?
Yesterday.
But you said... You said he...
Did I dare. But some joker tried to jimmy the machine Monday night and jammed it. Fella had to come out yesterday to fix it, so while he was at it, he emptied the record chest.
Well, then my record's gone.
Yesterday.
Well, maybe I can call him up before he puts the record in the mail.
Maybe. I'll get his number if you wait a minute. My name is DeGamo.
Send me your name and address and the name of the addressee, and I'll hold back your record, Mr. Smiddick.
But I can't do that.
Now, what's the matter? You don't trust me?
I trust you.
You think maybe I'll get curious and run it off?
No. Look, I'll make it worth your while to hold up the whole batch for just 1 hour until I get there.
Tell me which record it is and I'll pull it. Otherwise, they all got to go out in the next mail.
All right, let's not talk. I'm grabbing a taxi right now. I'm looking for Mr. DeGamo.
Yeah, you got him.
Yeah, I phoned about my record an hour ago.
2 hours ago.
We got held up in a traffic jam.
Yeah, well, I thought you wasn't coming after all. I sent the records out.
Oh, no.
Half hour ago.
Where did you mail them?
No, not me. I mean Vic.
Who's Vic?
Porter.
Where did he mail them, then?
He puts them in a cardboard box and on top of the mailbox. That way we don't monopolize the mail.
Which mailbox?
Got me. I'll leave it up to Vic.
Well, where is he?
He left for the day.
Then where does he live?
The racetrack. Probably on his way there right now.
Never mind. I'll cruise around in a taxi or something. I'll try to locate the mailbox myself.
Be in a big paper box on top of the mailbox. Can't miss it. Taxi!
I don't blame anybody. Except Revson and his kind. They've got to keep my head. I've got to get back that record. North and south, east and west, warp and woof, the taxi weaves a pattern over the area that reaches 50 mailboxes. And then I see it. We're caught at a traffic light. I shove a large bill at the driver and jump out running. There's the mail collector now, locking up the box again.
Wait!
He's climbing into the truck.
Oh, mailman!
It's too late. I made it a second time in my adult life. I break down and cry. Cry like a kid.
like Little Boy Blue long ago.
Marty.
Can I come in, Mom?
Oh, come in, son.
Mom, I sent you something in the mail.
I know. The mailman just goes away.
Yeah, I know. I was watching him. I saw him.
Tip. Tip, look that mail in living room. Tip, Marty is here.
May I drop in my tracks if I didn't know you'd be prowling around for this record?
I've got to have it, Tip.
Is this what you send me, Marty? Record?
2 bits worth. And even then on a slight Indian giver basis.
I wish I could explain, but I can't, that's all.
Mom, do me a favor. Bring in my portable record player. It isn't heavy.
No, Mom.
Go ahead, Mom.
No. No, Tip.
Look, it came in the U.S. mail. It's hers, isn't it?
Mom, I sent you a record that I made Monday. I said things in it that, well, they can make trouble for me.
That I want to hear. I'll get my record player.
Keith! Go on, Marty.
I came to ask you to give me the record back.
After we've heard it.
Before anybody hears it.
You said it would make Mom happy.
That's right.
Why don't you let her hear it then?
I can't tell you. If I did, I'd be telling you what's on the record.
Okay by me.
It isn't okay with me. At the worst, I'm not ready to die. And at the best, I don't want to give up the important work I'm doing.
Die.
Marty.
Said too much.
You said die.
He also said he doesn't want to give up the important work he's doing. And what important work are you doing? Undermining our government and entire way of life. And if we hear that record, we might louse you up a bit. Too doggone bad. I'm going for my machine.
Stay where you are, Pete. Listen to me, both of you.
This man is an enemy of the United States.
This man, Pete, your own brother, your flesh and mine. You call this man?
He's a stranger to me.
Oh, it's all right, I suppose. Men fight each other. Sometimes brothers fight brothers. Sons fight fathers, kill each other. It's terrible, yes. But he's manly, I suppose. He's brave and strong. I don't know. I don't want for my son to die.
Mom.
Let her alone, can't you?
I promise, Mom. I'll make it all up to you someday.
Help. Give me the record. My son make for me.
Here, Mom. Don't feel bad.
Marty.
Yes, Mom.
Marty. Long time ago, I buy you nice things, too. No?
Sure.
Swell books. Dandy books. Tell you nice story, huh?
A little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands?
Yes. Was but little boy playing with toy soldiers. The little boy blue, what don't ever come back. Marty, here is the record.
Oh, Mom.
Someday I could play it, maybe, and be happy, son.
Someday.
Take care of yourself, son.
The record. Against the comrade's craft at exploiting human pain and tragedy, my mother has set her instinct and her mother's belief in her wayward son, like those eternal toy soldiers waiting in the dust of years, faithful to Little Boy Blue. But I can't go back. My friends, the people that once respected me, keep wondering, what's happened to Matt Savetic? The answer is, Little Boy Blue turned red. I'm a communist for the FBI. I walk alone.
Dana Andrews will return in just a moment. This is Dana Andrews with a word about the story you've heard and the great stories you're going to hear and think about. In order to protect innocent people, names, dates, and places are fictitious. Many of these stories are based on events in the life of Matt Savedic, who worked undercover for the FBI. You've just heard part of that great adventure, but friends, you haven't heard the last of it. Next week, another exciting adventure. Share it with us, won't you?